Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a recording of the Bible message that would normally be shared during the Sunday worship service.
While we are unable to meet together for worship, we will publish our podcasts at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, and you can also see daily videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today. Harry Houdini, the famous escape artist, issued a challenge wherever he went. He claimed he could be locked in any jail cell in the country and would be able to set himself free quickly and easily. He always kept his promise, but on one occasion something went wrong. Houdini was placed in a prison cell. The heavy metal doors of his cell clanged shut behind him, and Houdini set to work by escaping. He took from his belt a concealed piece of metal, which was strong and flexible, and he started picking the lock. But something seemed to be unusual about this lock. Well, for 30 minutes he worked and worked and just got nowhere. An hour passed and he still had not opened the door. Well, by now he was bathed in sweat and panting in exasperation, but he still could not pick the lock. Finally, after labouring for 2 hours, Harry Houdini collapsed in frustration and failure against a door he could not unlock. But when he fell against the door, it swung open. It had never been locked at all. But in his mind, it was locked. And that was all it took to keep him from opening the door and walking out of the jail cell. Houdini didn't realise how easy it was for him to escape. He wasn't really physically imprisoned. The door was unlocked, and yet he felt imprisoned. We don't need to be in a prison cell to feel imprisoned. There are many different ways that we can feel trapped or imprisoned, physically, mentally, and emotionally. In our Bible reading today, we read of three different kinds of imprisonment. Each of the characters are imprisoned or trapped, and we're going to look at ways in which they were freed. And perhaps their experiences will help us to see and to know what it means to be truly free. And so I invite you to read the Bible reading. It's Acts 16, verses 16 to 36. Being shut up is never nice for a long time. We can do it for a while, but we like freedom. We like to walk out, do things for ourselves. It's one reason why being in prison is a punishment. Freedom is taken away. Yet again, in our country, we're faced with more stringent restrictions in what we can do in an effort to avert the wider spreading of this virus. And these restrictions can feel like we're imprisoned, that we're trapped, and that we can't be who we want to be in, and we can't do what we want to do. There are so many layers of imprisonment that can have an effect on who God wants us to be and what he wants us to do. And I find in studying these characters in our Bible reading today how I can attain freedom when my circumstances and feelings can make me feel restricted and even trapped. And I want to share some of what I find with you today. So the first character that we're going to look at is the slave girl. She's not free. She is a slave. She's imprisoned both mentally and physically. She's bound up by this spirit that has especially made her a pawn for her masters. She's being exploited by her owners, whose best interests are served at her physical and spiritual enslavement. We don't know if it's a spirit driving her to follow Paul and Silas or if it is her own desire to be free. But for whatever reason, Paul and Silas get annoyed enough to do something. Now, I would love to imagine that all good things that happen are because of the kindness of people's heart. In this case, it really doesn't sound like that is what happened. Paul was simply annoyed and commanded that she be free of her spirit. And with Paul's words, God brought healing to the woman, which of course stirred up trouble. Her rich and powerful owners were unhappy, so much so that they stirred up the crowd. Without a trial, Paul and Silas were beaten with rods and imprisoned. We see this a lot in our world today. There will always be those who put their money-making above the freedom of others. Their money gives them power, and they use it against those who they see are in the way. That's what human trafficking is all about. Money, power, greed, self-indulgence, and the traffickers will do anything to secure their investment. We are all aware of how our world today exists. The rich and the powerful can use their money and influence to remain rich and powerful, and they leave those who are outside of the circle enslaved. We see this in corporate structures that give CEOs millions and leave the workers at minimum wages barely able to survive. We see this in the way farmers are often left barely able to cover their costs of planting and harvesting crops or raising animals. We see this in the manufacturing of textiles and electrical goods and other goods. Those in the factories and farms are paid pittance of a wage, whilst those at the top profit. And we see this in the way that people are bought and sold as commodities, often treated very inhumanely, not even earning any money or perhaps even paying off debts that will never be paid off. So those at the top profit in an astronomical way. Here we find Paul and Silas encountering that role. They offended someone rich and powerful, and there were consequences. Notice that we don't hear anything else about this slave girl after Paul releases her from the spirit. We only know that Paul's actions left her owners very, very angry. As I said earlier, Paul didn't seem to be motivated in healing her by a desire to help her. It appeared that he just wanted her to be quiet. Paul's actions, though they freed her from a spirit that apparently consumed her life, did nothing to free her from her slavery. Instead, they make her worthless to her owners. Today is the Salvation Army's day of prayer for victims of human trafficking. Those victims experience imprisonment on many layers, and just because they are free from their physical imprisonment doesn't mean that they are free from other kinds of imprisonment. The Salvation Army, along with other organisations, are fully into addressing the whole picture of human trafficking and modern slavery. Their Fight for Freedom strategy, which they have been releasing over this month, is about creating, implementing and ensuring a strong and sustainable modern slavery and human trafficking response in every Salvation Army territory, command, region and community. This is about prayer, prevention, protection, prosecution, partnership, policy and participation. This is about providing true freedom. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that process. I've heard people use the phrase, freedom isn't free. We talk about this when we're weighing the costs of freedom and noting that rarely what we name freedom comes without some kind of price. Freedom has consequences. Paul acts on this girl's life and bestows on her one kind of freedom. It's not for her benefit, unfortunately. But we can hope that she went on to find some kind of fullness of life. Sometimes when we're freeing others with whatever actions we think are best, we're not thinking about the consequences. When it comes to working to fight against injustice, against harm to others, against oppression, against wrongdoing, how can we make sure that what we think of as a gift of freedom to others is actually setting them free? I often think that in particular with the work that is done supporting survivors of human trafficking and modern slavery. It's not just about freeing them from their trafficker and slave master, because they still have so many layers to fight through afterwards. I hope Paul had a chance to think on that slave girl and wonder how her life unfolded after his actions. Let's make sure that if we are part of a process in freeing people from what imprisons them, we don't do it for our own gain or comfort, but that we think of the full picture, what really is the best course of action to bring about that true freedom. And let's be careful that in our own efforts to find freedom ourselves from whatever it is that's imprisoning us, we don't look for the quick fix either. The next characters to experience imprisonment and freedom are Paul and Silas. They're beaten and bound and in prison, and yet they possess within themselves a well of faith that they draw on that leaves them seemingly free, even though they're in physical chains. Their trust in God leaves them with a deep contentment. They seem free from worry about their fate. I don't mean to say that they don't care if they live or die. I believe Paul had many plans about all the people with whom he wanted to share the gospel. I mean that he's not anxious for the future. He's with God when he's in prison or out of prison. He's a disciple of Jesus in prison or out of prison. There's no external forces that seem to shake Paul and Silas's faith. They're singing and praying in prison, even when the doors are unlocked for them by the earthquake and their chains are loosened. They don't rush to escape. This, I think, is the freedom in Christ that Paul talks about. His faith makes him secure in whatever he experiences. I love reading Dr. Maya Angelou's work. She just seems so wise. And in a television interview in 1973, Angelou said this: "You're only free when you realise that you belong no place. You belong every place. No place at all. The price is high. The reward is great." I love that. I think Paul and Silas embody that. They belong to Christ, to no place and every place. The cost of their freedom in Christ is high. Eventually, Paul pays with his life. But the reward is great. Paul wouldn't trade his experiences for anything after experiencing new life in Christ, after accepting God's unwavering, unconditional love and grace. In this prison, they were truly free. Free of hatred, of hopelessness, of bitterness, of anything in the world that might imprison them. And it reminds me of Paul's words to the Romans in chapter 8 when he writes, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else like coronavirus in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." No prison could hold them because they knew that God was there. Even without the earthquake, they were not afraid. Uncomfortable, maybe, but not afraid. When we also know that God is always with us, always loves us, we too can be conquerors in Christ Jesus. There will always be things and situations and disturbances in our lives, but God is and always will be there. He's promised that. I love the story that Corrie ten Boom wrote of her sister's words in Ravensbrück before she died there in the prison camp. She said to tell the world that there is no pit that God is not deeper still. And she said that Corrie would be believed because she had been there. There is no pit in your life that is so deep and dark that God is not there. There is nowhere without hope. There is nowhere without God. Whether you can see or feel God isn't relevant. If God is, it is the nature of God to be. It is the nature of God to be with us. It is the nature of God to save us. And when we realise that, we find that true freedom that lives above our circumstances and our feelings, just like Paul and Silas. And finally, there is the jailer. He's the only one that seems to have the most freedom in this story. He's no slave girl, and he's not locked up like Paul and Silas. And yet, when the earthquake happens, we immediately see how bound this man is. He exists in a system that makes it seem like taking his own life is the only possible solution. He exists in a system that would apparently punish him for the escape of prisoners, even though it would have been due to circumstances completely beyond his control. He seems free, but he's bound, chained to this punitive system that means his life can come crashing down around him with one unexpected earthquake. He has power, but he knows his power is tenuous and can be snatched away at any second. He should be calm and in control, but it is Paul and Silas who have to comfort him. Power and status and wealth and position, these things give us the illusion of freedom. But the hidden costs are deeply soul-crushing, meaning this man, this jailer, feels his life is worthless without his position. how easily we can become chained by these external things that promise to give us value, promise us freedom, and leave us feeling more bound than ever. He and his family are part of the working class. As long as they did everything right, they were safe. But given an unexpected happening, and their very lives were at stake. He was given the specific task of keeping Paul and Silas in prison. If something happened on his watch, the same owners would demand someone pay the price for their escape. So once the gates swung open, his immediate response was to kill himself, hoping that it would spare his family from suffering with him whatever fate they had intended for Paul and Silas. And then the truth dawns. Well, Paul and Silas call out to him, "All is well. We are still here." By remaining, they saved his life and likely the lives of his family. No wonder the guard was so open to what they had to say. Hear his words. "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul responds that he only needs to believe in Jesus. Nothing to do, nothing to be, only something to accept. Jesus had died for him. Now he just had to accept that gift. Sometimes it seems too simple. Shouldn't we be telling people what they need to do? Well, doing happens after believing. God reaches out with grace before we even know enough to say yes. God is always waiting, always reaching, always desiring us to come to him. We are often like the jailer. We are caught in things where we think everything is okay because we have this or because we have that or because we do this or because we do that until something goes wrong. It is at moments like this we most need to hear Paul's words to us. Just believe. God will do the rest. And it's then that we are on the road to true freedom. When we talk about freedom, I want us to ask ourselves two questions. Free from what and free for what? Christ offers us new life and sets us free. But I want us to know what we're being set free from. What is binding you up? What has you in chains? What has your soul imprisoned? What are you so reliant on that if it came crashing down, you'd think your life was no longer of value? Christ sets us free from sin. Free from the power of that which seeks to separate us from God. Free from the endless quest to earn the love that God has already offered us. How does your faith make it so external chains can't prevent you from singing hymns and witnessing to your faith because you know who you are, who you serve, and who loved you? How can Jesus set you free? And what will Jesus set you free for? There's a beautiful Methodist liturgy prayer that I found that I want to share with you. And it says this: Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbours and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I love that phrase. Free us for joyful obedience. Paul and Silas were free to serve God with their whole hearts and their whole lives. We are too. We are free to joyfully follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We're free to do God's will, follow God's way, embrace God's love, love our neighbours and hear, with compassion, not annoyance, the cries of the needy. We're free in a way that gives life, true, abundant life. The price is high, but the reward is great. In Christ Jesus, we have been set free. Let's live like people who know it. It's because of God's amazing grace and love that our chains are gone and we can be set free. And so as we reflect on his word just now, let's listen to that song and thank God for the amazing grace that enables us to know and live in true freedom. Let me share with you a benediction now to conclude. He experienced true freedom by believing and following Jesus and no one else. Hear his word, stay in his word, trust his word, and joyfully obey it. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see that your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. By still waters into mercy, when nothing can keep us apart. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Children, remember your promise, oh God. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy is enough.
Unending love for me.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.